Hello, everyone, and welcome back to episode 88 of The Brainstorm. Not the usual intro from Sam. We're going to go ahead and record without him to make sure this gets scheduled and stays on time for everyone. We have a very, very exciting show. Even without Sam, we have Frank on, who's been on the show a number of times. We're going to be doing a live demo today. We're going to be showing what it is like to vibe code or code with agentic capabilities. I think a few of us in the office have had recent experiences with coding agents and assistants in coding. I, for one, have had an aha moment. I really can't compare to maybe anything else in my career at Arc using some of this technology. So I'm just going to kick it right to Frank. We'll get right into this. We'll do a live demo. So if you're listening on Spotify or one of the other channels and can't get in front of a screen, I recommend you try to. We'll do the best we can to try to explain this as it goes. But if you want to watch, definitely recommend YouTube. You'll see this all happen in real time. All right, Frank, let's do it.
All right. And super topical. You know, I think agentic coding or AI assisted software development, you're hearing a lot more about it because companies are deploying these coding agents. They're growing. Cursor is probably the most popular one, just raised at a $9 billion valuation. Their competitor, Windsurf, is rumored to be being acquired by OpenAI. And for $3 billion. And Replit, which full transparency is a company held by the Arc Venture Fund and also a product used at Arc, is also reportedly raising at $3 billion. And I think sometimes you can get lost in exactly what does agentic coding mean. It sounds like a buzzword, but Nick, I think your experience is a good one that sometimes you have to see it to understand how powerful this is. And, you know, being able to do, you know, an entire professional domain software development really for the first time using only natural language. So I can dive in and we'll make up an example.
seeing is believing in, I think, this instance and with a lot of technology, especially as we get into this agentic AI future where it's almost incomprehensible, the capabilities of these models. So that's why we wanted to do a live demo for this audience, keep you ahead of the curve. So when someone comes up to you in a few months from now and says, can you believe what you can do with these coding agents? You can tell them you've already made several apps and you're a vibe coding savant. So Frank, let's do this.
All right. I think a fun one to see also just how these coding agents have improved over time. But about a year ago, I had kind of my first aha experience, which was, you know, reading an AI blog and the author is talking about how speaking is three times faster on average than typing. But a common problem with speech to text models is one, they're kind of built on legacy predictive AI technology that doesn't understand full context of what you're saying. And two, we're not always as exact in how we're speaking out loud with how we would type, because you usually have more thinking time when you're typing. And so he built his own application to basically go speech to text to LLM to auto format and basically make it much faster to work on emails or do whatever, you know, consistent activity you have. So I'm going to go on to Replit.com right now and go to their coding agent and basically say, build me a website that records my voice. I'm going to tell it to use the OpenAI API. And then edits the text output into a, let's say, clear and concise email format using the GPT-4.1 API. Actually, let's just say OpenAI and see what it picks. So this is super simple. We're going to see, click start building and let the agent get to work. And what it's doing right now and how kind of a full coding agent is different from what you might have seen in ChatGPT or other AI assistants where you're really just asking it to write code. Replit is backed by a full cloud-based development environment. So this is a server with Python libraries, a variety of coding libraries available to it. And it's understanding my question, creating a roadmap or a plan for exactly what needs to be built. I just wrote one sentence here, so there's not a lot. So it's expanding on my concept, thinking about what frameworks it wants to use outside of what I already told it. And then it's going to actually start, once I confirm that plan, writing all the code to build my application, and it will actually build a preview of what it's going to look like as it's doing it. So this is kind of real-time web development and creating a fully interactive application versus just writing a piece of code that, you know, a year ago you'd have to copy and run somewhere else, which is, it sounds small, but for a non-developer, not having a native development environment, it's kind of impossible. So you could write code, but not do much with it.
Right. My experience, I, you know, wouldn't understand or know which development environment to choose from. So having it all in one place, I think it helps the non-technical potential user, someone without any coding experience, which I would bucket myself in, to be able to use these tools in a way that, again, it you can only really describe it in using it. And that's, I think this is probably my favorite part of the experience, when it comes back to you and offers other potential ideas related to your initial prompt. And I think, Frank, you said, oh, this is a pretty easier, like beginner level prompt, but you have APIs here. Some may not know what that is. So there's, you know, a lot of interconnectedness, but you really can prompt this tool, Replit, Veo, Bolt, any one of the coding agents with as simple of a prompt as you can think, or as complex of a prompt as, you know, a developer at a company might think of. So that's why I think it is so powerful in what its capability is, because it introduces an entirely new market to coding that, you know, it would have taken you having to learn computer science in college to get up to speed, to be able to do even the most basic of tasks, or take YouTube classes, whatever it might be. You need a level of knowledge to just even understand what a coding environment is. All of this abstracts away that knowledge in a way that makes this extremely user-friendly to people that have never coded before. And that, I think, is powerful. And we'll get into it later. But Frank, want to explain what's going on right now?
Yeah. So the coding agent, if you're looking at the screen share, is, you know, thinking through how it's going to implement this application. It's already created a super simple, honestly, this one's kind of ugly. Sometimes they're prettier, but a super simple UI that's basically has a voice record button. And then it shows a formatted email output based on the prompt that we gave it. It also popped up, and this I think is pretty interesting from a creativity standpoint, with suggested features, where you could just one click add a feature, like, for example, different email templates based on my context to add to the application. And so it basically builds this front end first after it's done its planning, and then it goes in and writes all the code to add the on the back end, which is really like the functionality. So going out to the OpenAI API to both use their speech to text model, which is called Whisper, and then use probably a GPT-4 LLM to do all the formatting for us. So sometimes this takes some time. There's an interesting trade-off here between speed and quality. The Replit agent used to be faster, but lower quality. And I think, you know, getting feature complete applications in one shot, people are willing to wait. So they've updated to be a little bit more slower, a little bit more thorough to get a better, more complete output.
And Frank, while this continues to run in the background, maybe let's talk through some of the implications of what we think this means to the global economy, to, you know, what is happening here? Because when I start to think about the potential of coding agents in the wild, you know, my mind starts racing, because I've had a million startup ideas over the years, and they always come back to, well, you know, I don't know how to create a website, or I don't know how to create an application. And I think a lot of people may fall into that bucket of, I have a great idea, but I don't know where to get started because I'm not technical in the way that I might need to be for this certain type of business activity. But now you can get a MVP, you can get a product in the wild in less than 5 minutes if it's a simple enough prompt. And to me, that explosion of potential creation for businesses, for entrepreneurs, I mean, it just seems like we're entering an inflection point that has not yet been understood by the market.
Yeah, totally agree. And I can go through kind of some of the implications as it's like about to start running this app for us. And I'll go through three different levels. One is generally AI is a tool to increase productivity and create and enable new businesses and new creative concepts in the market. There's a billion knowledge workers in the world, and they all use software today to get their job done. And we create software to increase the knowledge workers' productivity. You now have the ability to create software to fit into all of these nooks and crannies where it may not have been economical to create a dedicated software application for before. So you're basically expanding the amount of software that can be created with this, I think pretty dramatically, obviously, as we're showing here. And then also the type of user that's now able to create software is not an engineer that's taking business requirements from the actual operational or business team and having to understand how to translate those requirements into a functional application. And there's, especially if you've worked on either side of this as a business user or a developer, there's always a communication mismatch and an amount of iteration. And, you know, the best developers or technical business users are the ones that can bridge that gap. But now you have the kind of end users, the end employees able to create software to fill their own needs. And these don't have to be, you know, massive enterprise applications, but just small utilities to make your job easier. They know the requirements the best. They know the problem that needs to be solved. And they're now enabled to create their own solutions for it versus having to go out to an engineering team and wait to get a product into a roadmap that takes 2 years to actually get built out, if it does at all. And so I think, you know, when we look at the TAM and the market sizing, there's estimated to be about 28 million professional developers worldwide. And interesting, there's 150 million that have GitHub accounts, which shows you how many people have, you know, toyed around with software development, used it in college, but don't use it professionally. The TAM goes way beyond that when you get to coding assistants to or agentic coding agents of really a billion knowledge workers. So from 28 million or 150 million, depending on which size you pick, to really the world's knowledge work labor base. And to give you a sense of how many people are using these tools right now, Replit, I think the agent is growing, you know, very quickly on their platform. They have about 30 million users total. GitHub Copilot, which is GitHub's coding agent, really the first coding assistant or coding agent that was released all the way back in 2021, or it's only 4 years ago, but it feels like all the way back. That has about 15 million users right now and has been growing 4x year on year. So one of the fastest growing categories in AI.
I actually, and Justin, I mean, I love every bit of that, but I would actually say, and I was thinking about this over the weekend, I actually do believe that the TAM is not just a billion knowledge workers, it's the entire connected internet, as in anyone who is connected and has the ability to use one of these coding agents. It now unlocks your creativity and your ability to become technical. Because even the term knowledge worker, right? What does coding agents or what does generative AI do to an individual? Well, it gives them knowledge that they that would have taken maybe years to have to then be able to build something off of it, right? It now brings that. So really, it comes down to anyone with an idea that may need a coding agent or may need some technical expertise now gets that from either a coding agent or just one of these generalized chatbots, which I think is so powerful. It expands the TAM dramatically. It makes everyone in the world that has connection to the internet a potential knowledge worker. And I think that, again, it's like you start to picture and paint that out for 5-10 years down the road, I think we just get into this massive boon of economic online activity because people are going to be coming up with new and creative ideas that they may have always had, but never had the ability to actually execute on. And now they do have the ability to execute on it. And that's really where this you know, intersection happens.
Yeah, totally agree. And 2 points to continue on to that before we do a demo of the app that's just been built. One is that I think, you know, when you talk about general assistance, like a ChatGPT, for example, many people will be creating and running code and not even knowing it because this is already happening in the background where if you have a request, like it's analyzing an image or going through an Excel file, ChatGPT and the other AI assistants as well, a lot of times they're running code on the back end to process your request either more accurately or do analytics that an LLM normally couldn't do. So there should be a lot of people writing and running code that they don't even know it's happening on the back end for them. And then broader implications for, I think, the software market. This creates a ton of demand in new pockets and potentially reduces demand in existing pockets. And those new pockets are all the products and services to actually interact with coding agents and the core compute resources that they demand. So AI accelerated compute, databases, web servers, the cybersecurity software for all these new applications that are going to go into production. We think demand is marginally, not even marginally, it already has been shifting into these new buckets. And then if you think of especially narrow, isolated software application solutions that can now be obviated with a single prompt, much more of a dicey, precarious position. But before we talk more, maybe we should see if this actually works. And I don't know if it will. So, all right, I'm going to click the record button and pretend to create an email. Hey, Nick, this is a test of the new Whisper email editor that we created live on the Brainstorm demo. We should create a marketing plan to share this out broadly on our social channels. Thanks, Frank.
Moment of truth.
Yeah.
Drum roll, please.
All right.
Looks pretty good to me.
Subject: testing the new Whisper email editor and marketing plan. Yeah. And so it's added all the, you know, typical email formatting. I would make this prettier for a few ways, like taking out the HTML tags. And you can edit. I didn't ask for this, but the ability to edit and then copy directly to your clipboard, I think, is a nice addition from the.
Yeah. And if you're not getting an aha moment from that, then I think you're missing the forest for the trees, because just to think about what it would have taken before this was available to everyone, what would we have done? We would have sat down, we would have brainstormed a bit, we would have come up with a memo, we would have found a developer to try and build this, we would have gone back iteration after iteration to get to this. It probably would have taken weeks because you have to vet different developers, we have to come up with all of these different ideas. It's going to cost you thousands of dollars to maybe get something that looks like that. And Frank, the kicker is, right, that prompt, the first prompt or every prompt only costs, what, 25 cents with Replit? So you think about it, you just took weeks off of development time. You allow iteration on the fly, and this is costing you, what, less than $1.50? Like, this is the value menu at McDonald's. This is the dollar menu at McDonald's in a way that I just don't think, unless you see this, unless you watch it, you can really understand, because, you know, that's a great idea that, you know, people may want to have on their phone to be able to, and we just created it live on this show.
Well, and you just made a great point as well, or you're getting to a great point, which is Replit supports one-click deployments of the apps that you create. So I could publish that right now and send a URL to Nick or our entire team, and they can start using it in minutes. And that's something that's just a simple thing that we just created. But that could save time on every email that our entire team is writing. That, you know, you create potentially, you know, minutes or hours of savings for the team in less than 20 minutes of mostly talking while the agent does its work.
Yeah. So everyone that's listening, watching, you all have homework. I know we hate homework, but everyone should go test one of these tools out. Just play around with it. If you ever had an idea that you wanted to tinker around with but didn't have the technical capability, guess what? You have it. You have it right now. You have it right here. It's at your fingertips. It doesn't cost a lot of money. You can get free tokens. They'll give you, you know, free prompts on any of these, just to play around, to see, you know, to believe yourself, right? Maybe we had pre-planned that, we didn't, you know, pre-recorded that. No, that did not happen. That was live. I can promise you that, but believe it for yourself. Go use one of these tools and check it out and let us know in the comments. I think it would be really fun to see what people were able to create. And, you know, we look forward to hearing your feedback as always, but wanted to thank everyone. Frank, thank you for coming on. Sam, we missed you if you're listening or watching from the side, but I know you're using these tools. So thank you, everyone.
ARK Investment Management LLC is an SEC-registered investment advisor. ARK and Public are unaffiliated entities and do not have a relationship with respect to either firm marketing or selling the products or services of the other, and therefore ARK disclaims responsibility for any loss that may be incurred by Public's clients or customers. The information provided in this show is for informational purposes only and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision and is subject to change without notice. It does not constitute either explicitly or implicitly any provision of services or products by ARK. An investor should determine for themselves whether a particular investment management service is suitable for their investment needs. All statements made regarding companies or securities are strictly beliefs and points of view held by ARK and/or show guests and are not endorsements by ARK of any company or security or recommendations by ARK to buy, sell, or hold any security. Historical results are not indications of future results. Certain of the statements contained in the show may be statements of future expectations and other forward-looking statements that are based on ARK's current views and assumptions and involve known and unknown risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results, performance, or events to differ materially from those expressed or implied in such statements. ARK assumes no obligation to update any forward-looking information. ARK and its clients, as well as its related persons, may, but do not necessarily, have financial interests in securities or issuers that are discussed. Certain information was obtained from sources that ARK believes to be reliable. However, ARK does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of any information obtained from any third party.